Today is the third Sunday of Lent, and it is also the ninth anniversary of Bishop Sante's consecration to the episcopacy. Please keep him, Bishop Kelly, and all of Immaculate Heart Seminary in your daily prayers. Also, this Friday, March 4th, is First Friday. Please sign up for the all-night vigil. The sign-up sheet is in the vestibule. The schedule for that night will be 6 p.m. confessions, 8 p.m. Mass, followed by all-night adoration. There will, however, be no Lenten dinner. On Sunday, March 13th, the Sodality and the Junior Senior Council will host the annual St. Patrick's Day Bake Sale and Breakfast. If you are able to contribute any baked goods to this fundraiser, please call Sister Maria Cabrini. Tickets are available now for our annual $10,000 raffle. There is a prize of $1,000 for the one who sells the winning ticket. Tickets will be available in the coffee room after all masses. The drawing will be held on Holy Saturday, March 26th. For more information, please call Pat Fons, as noted in the bulletin. All proceeds benefit St. Pius V School Building Fund, and it really is one of the most profitable for the building fund. So please get your tickets. The ladies and men's retreats are scheduled for this spring, and please refer to the bulletin for more information. Now, the epistle appointed for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 5. Brethren, be ye therefore followers of God as most dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath delivered himself for us, an oblation and a sacrifice to God for an odor of sweetness. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not so much as be named among you as becometh saints, or obscenity, or foolish talking, or scurrility, which is to no purpose, but rather giving of thanks. For know you this, and understand, that no fornicator, or unclean, or covetous person, which is a serving of idols, hath inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the anger of God upon the children of unbelief. Be ye not therefore partakers with them, for you were heretofore darkness, but now light in the Lord. Walk then as children of the light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and justice and truth, and the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 11. At that time, Jesus was casting out a devil, and the same was dumb. And when he had cast out the dumb spoke, and the multitudes were in admiration at it. But some of them said, He casteth out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And others tempting asked of him a sign from heaven. But seeing their thoughts, said to them, Every kingdom divided against itself shall be brought to desolation, and house upon house shall fall. And if Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that through Beelzebub I cast out devils. Now if I cast out devils by Beelzebub, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I by the finger of God cast out devils, doubtless the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his court, those things which he possesseth are in peace. But if a stronger than he come upon him and overcome him, he will take away all his armor wherein he trusted, and will distribute his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through places without water, seeking rest. And not finding, he saith, I will return into my house whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then he goeth and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And entering in, they dwell there. And the last state of that man becometh worse than the first. And it came to pass, as he spoke of these things, a certain woman from the crowd, lifting up her voice, said to him, Blessed is the womb that bore thee, and the paps that nursed thee. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said to them, Every kingdom divided against itself shall be made desolate, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, our Lord chose to establish his church upon two pillars. The first pillar was St. Peter, the head of the apostles. St. Peter was chosen by Christ as the prince of the apostles to establish the church in Rome and to especially establish the church among the Jews. Now the second great pillar of the church was St. Paul. St. Paul was called to be the great apostle of the Gentiles. That is, he was chosen by our Lord to spread the Catholic faith among the pagan nations. St. Paul accomplished this great work primarily by means of his four great missionary journeys. You see, over a period of 12 years, St. Paul traveled through Greece and Asia Minor, preaching and establishing Catholic communities and churches. Now, in the spring of the year 58 A.D., St. Paul received word while at Ephesus of the condition of his newly founded church in Corinth. Sadly, the news he received was very disappointing. Many of the Christians had reverted to immorality and sin. Some of the Christians had also grown cold in their charity. In fact, they actually entered into lawsuits against one another. That is, rather than peacefully settling their differences with Christ-like meekness, humility, and charity, the Christians were taking each other to trial before the courts of pagan judges. St. Paul was concerned over this extreme lack of charity, and in his first epistle to the Corinthians, he taught them in what true charity consists. He also stressed that, if they did not have such charity, that is, a love of God and a love for one another, they have nothing. Thus St. Paul wrote, If I should know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I should have all faith so that I could move mountains, and I have not charity, I am nothing. Now, in today's gospel, our Lord was not specifically preaching charity to the people. However, he did mention an undeniable truth that can teach us about the practice of this virtue. Our Lord told the multitudes that every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Now, our Lord said this in answer to the Pharisees' absurd accusation that he had cast out a devil by Beelzebub. That is, the Pharisees said that our Lord cast out devils by the power of the devil. It is interesting to realize, however, that although our Lord could have defended himself in several ways, he chose to do so simply with reason and common sense. In other words, our Lord could have mentioned any of his numerous miracles, his acts of kindness and charity, even the manifestations of his divinity, to prove that his power was not from the devil. However, he defended himself against this irrational accusation by simply stating that every kingdom divided against itself shall be made desolate, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Clearly, then, it is an undeniable truth which our Lord taught, and which even the poorly educated bystanders could understand, that a divided kingdom cannot stand. But even though this truth is seemingly so apparent, we sometimes lose sight of it when it comes to our own kingdoms, that is, our family, our home, and even our parish. We do not realize that if our hearts are not united in charity with our family members and fellow parishioners, our families and even our chapels will not stand. If our lives are characterized by a lack of charity in thought, word, and deed, our families and chapels will be divided. But first and foremost, we must have charity in our thoughts, for our words and actions follow our thoughts. If we think uncharitably of others, this will show in how we speak to others and how we act towards them. One very important means of practicing charity in thought is avoiding rash judgments. A rash judgment is defined by theologians as the firm assent of the mind, whether it manifested externally or not, that another has sinned. This assent is called rash because it is not based on sufficient reason. In other words, one believes that another has sinned without a solid proof of the sin. Rash judgments must be avoided for at least three reasons. In the first place, rash judgments must be avoided because they increase our own pride. By rash judgments, we look down on another person. We lower this person in our own mind, and by means of this, we raise ourselves up, because we are then better than that person. This is pride, and pride is the queen and source of all sin. Thus, if we wish earnestly to avoid sin, we must avoid anything that increases our pride. Then, too, rash judgments must be avoided because they ruin our neighbor's undeniable right to a good name. It does this in two ways. They ruin our neighbor's good name because they are not founded on sufficient reason. Also, rash judgments ruin a person's good name because they, of their very nature, infuse themselves into others. That is to say, when we form rash judgments and act upon them, others will often follow our example. For instance, if a person notices that his friend avoids another person's company, he may be led to do the same. Then the final reason for avoiding rash judgments is that they ruin our ability to judge properly. For you see, rash judgments cause all of our neighbor's actions to appear evil in our eyes. That is to say, even when our neighbors are not at fault, if we have a habit of rash judging, we may violate charity by seeing their actions as evil. Realizing then that rash judgments increase our own pride, ruin another person's good name, and distort our own judgment, it is not difficult to realize why they must have no part in the Catholic life. Our Lord clearly stated in today's Gospel that a divided house or kingdom will fall. And if we do not strive to check ourselves from rash judging, we may run the risk of causing division and separation in our homes and our chapels. This is so because rash judgments can destroy the bond of charity, which in turn may lead to division. Let us strive then, my dear faithful, every day, to wage war against the desire or the habit of forming rash judgments. To do this, we must consider our own faults and be filled with horror at the idea of judging another. If we take time to consider our faults, we will see that there is plenty in ourselves to fix without looking to the faults of others. St. Francis de Sales even wrote, "Every man has enough to do in judging himself without taking upon himself to judge his neighbor." And even if a neighbor's fault be publicly known, Dom Scopoli, the great spiritual director, advises one to let charity suggest some excuse. Ultimately, then, rash judging others must be avoided, for by it we increase our pride, ruin another's good name, and ruin our own ability to judge properly. So then, my dear faithful, realizing that St. Paul placed charity at the head of all virtues in his masterful epistle to the Corinthians, let us strive to practice charity toward each other. And while we strive to conform to the words of St. Paul, let us remember the words of St. Peter, who said, charity covers a multitude of sins. And if we allow charity to stop us from rash judging, we can win for ourselves a merciful judgment before God. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.